Have you seen the price of gold lately? It's hitting all-time highs. And when it comes to investing in gold, check out Noble Gold Investments. They have a track record of excellence that's second to none. Just look at their thousands of five-star reviews on Trustpilot, Google, and the Better Business Bureau. Customers rave about their knowledgeable staff, smooth investment process, and life-changing results, which you can see for yourself online. That's the kind of reputation you can count on. But it's not just about the reviews. Noble Gold Investments truly care about their clients. They take the time to understand your unique needs and goals, and they give expert guidance every step of the way. That level of personalized service is rare in this industry. Look, when it comes to securing your financial future, you can't afford to take chances. Go with the gold company that has earned the trust of countless investors. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com/Tim Pool today and discover why Noble Gold Investments is the only choice for smart, secure gold investments. Or give them a call at 877-646-5347. Again, that number is 877-646-5347. Make sure to head over to timcast.com, click join us, and become a member to support our work directly, because this show is made possible thanks in part to viewers like you. If you like the work we do, become a member, and you'll also get access to uncensored, members-only shows from Timcast IRL, Monday through Thursday at 10 p.m. You can also join our Discord server and talk with like-minded individuals. Now, let's get into that first story. Speaking at a rally last Saturday, Donald Trump said that he would prevent the manufacturing of autos in Mexico, and that if they did try to bring these cars in, he would charge a 100% tariff and no one would buy them. Trump knows this was an extremely popular position back in 2016. Michael Moore said as much in the speech where he said Trump comes in to these auto manufacturers and says, if you take these factories out of the United States, I'll put a 30% tariff on them. No one will buy your cars. And what happened? During Trump's term as president, first term as president, he brought back $3 billion to Michigan. They started bringing these manufacturing plants back. At this rally in Ohio, where auto manufacturing has historically been particularly big, Trump knew this is the talking point. But he warned my friends. He said, if I don't get elected, it'll be a bloodbath. And what does that mean? Well, any sane, reasonable person understands the context of his words. If I become president, I will make sure we bring your jobs back here. We will prevent cars from being made in Mexico or outside of the United States. But if they come in, they're going to allow it. They're going to allow all these jobs to be shipped out of this country, and it will be a bloodbath. What does bloodbath mean? It's a figurative speech that literally means, like, it will be a disaster, a collapse, an economic collapse. Shane Smith of Vice famously said back, I think it was 10 years ago, that there was going to be a bloodbath in digital media. What does that mean? It means they're going to fire people. This phrase has been used over and over again in this context. And even right now, if you Google search market bloodbath, you will see a ton of stories about tech stocks and cryptocurrency, all saying tech market bloodbath. Why is it then that it is Monday? I thought we debunked this already. Look, it's the weekend, all right? We were out skateboarding, and I'm relaxing, and I'm having a nice steak, and I'm laughing. Look at this. The media has started to run this narrative. We have NPR. Trump says some migrants are not people and warns of bloodbath if he loses, as if to create the context that Trump is going to kill migrants. And this happens on Saturday. And I immediately see Twitter light up. Bloodbath is trending, not people. Trending. And immediately everyone says, here we go. The media is trying to make up another hoax. Now, to be fair, when Trump said some migrants are not people, the context he was talking about was murderers and rapists. It's like, dude, are you really trying to defend murderers and rapists right now? I mean, we got Dr. Phil on The View saying that children are being sent into child sex trafficking rings, okay, when they come through that border. And you want to say, be like, well, but they are people. It's a figure of speech. Obviously, we get their human beings. They're just really bad ones. And they should be locked up forever. Now, the bloodbath thing, like I was saying, I thought we debunked this. I was thinking like, come Monday, there's no way they're going to try to keep pushing the bloodbath narrative. But my friends, it's actually just gotten worse with Joe Scarborough on MSNBC going into this unhinged rant about how he's not stupid and that Trump is actually signaling he wants to murder a bunch of people or that he wants his supporters to. This is the game they play because, my friends, they are stupid and they're liars. Come on, look, please, you don't have to like Donald Trump, okay? You don't have to like the man at all. In fact, I encourage you to criticize his shortcomings. But come on, criticizing a potential market crash using the word bloodbath is not how it is done. It is not how you criticize the man. You criticize the man by saying he's focused too heavily on grievances, which I think he has shifted. My personal opinion is he's shifted very much away from that and he's getting back to core issues. But there was a period where that's all he had. And he still does focus on this a lot. You can criticize him for when he posted, yes, it's true, while out golfing, I got a hole in one. And everyone's like, well, I don't care. That you can criticize him for foreign policy. You can say drone strikes, commando raids. You can say supporting the Saudis in the conflict in Yemen. There's a lot of things to say. Now, my personal opinion, Trump was a net positive in most of these areas. Certainly, he's got character defects that we can point out. Who doesn't? Trump may be a bit more boisterous and aggressive, but I think it's fair. If you came to me and said, you know, like Dave Smith, he's a friend of the show, comedian, libertarian, says Trump's foreign policy is not as good as you think. And I say, actually, I think it is pretty good. But I respect him making the argument based on facts. Trump did thing. We agree Trump did thing. I don't think thing was good. I think thing was good. That's it. Notably, the Abraham Accords. Dave Smith's position is that this opened the door to conflict with Israel-Palestine bringing in Iran. Whereas my view is Abraham Accords normalizing relations with Israel. But we agree the thing happened. We just disagree on the outcome and whether it was worth it and things like that. And that is legitimate criticism based on an informed opinion I can respect. I just disagree. Let's talk more about it. The corporate press has nothing else other than to lie. Let's get into it so I can stop ranting. NPR. Trump says some migrants are not people and warns of bloodbath if he loses. Vandalia, Ohio. Former President Donald Trump claimed that he, not President Joe Biden, will protect Social Security and warned of a bloodbath if he loses in November as he campaigned for Senate candidate Bernie Moreno in Ohio. Trump, speaking on a wind-whipped airfield outside of Dayton Saturday, praised his chosen candidate in the race as an America First champion and political outsider who has spent his entire life building up Ohio communities. He's going to be a warrior in Washington, Trump said, days after securing enough delegates to clinch the 2024 Republican nomination. Moreno faces Secretary of State Frank LaRose and State Senator Matt Dolan in Tuesday's GOP primary. Yeah. We get it. Saturday's rally was hosted by Buckeye Values PAC, a group backing Moreno's candidacy. Quote, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole. That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country, he warned, while talking about the impact of offshoring on the country's auto industry and his plans to increase tariffs on foreign-made cars. You see, the headlines, if to be fair, could say Trump warns of auto industry bloodbath or bloodbath for the auto industry. That's totally acceptable because that's literally what he did. Now, a lot of people, I'm seeing this is interesting. Look, NPR saying migrants aren't people and warns of a bloodbath is a shockingly irresponsible headline. But CNN ran a headline saying Trump warns of bloodbath for auto industry. And I'm like, that's fine. That's what he did. And there are some people still screen grabbing this, acting like CNN did wrong. I don't like CNN. I think they're trash. But hey, they're not the worst offender here. NPR and NBC News, and there are many others. Biden campaign spokesperson James Singer accused Trump of doubling down on threats of political violence. These people are so dumb. He wants another January 6th, but the American people are not going to give him another electoral defeat this November because they continue to reject his extremism, his affection for violence, and his thirst for revenge. Uh-huh. Trump campaign spokesman Stephen Chung said that Trump had clearly been talking about the impact of a second Biden term on the auto industry. Crooked Joe Biden and his campaign are engaging in deceptively out of context editing. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's literally how Joe Biden launched his first campaign with the Very Fine People hoax. Donald Trump, for those that don't know, said of Charlottesville, look, there were some very fine people on both sides, but I'm not talking about the white supremacists and the white nationalists and the neo-Nazis because they should be condemned totally. But there were some very fine people who didn't want to see that statue removed. That is true. That is a fact statement. They took him out of context to make it seem like he was calling neo-Nazis very fine people because most people don't know what actually happened in Charlottesville. That is, there were certainly white nationalists and neo-Nazis, but there were a lot of regular people who were like, do not tear down our statues. And that's it. And it was conflict. I give you NBC News. Oh, we love NBC News. Trump says there will be a bloodbath if he loses the election. Uh-huh. Here we go. Trump made the comment at a rally in Ohio where he spoke about auto manufacturing. The Biden campaign responded by criticizing the former president's threats of political violence. NBC News is just so awful. And ladies and gentlemen, I got to give you this one. Benny Johnson tweeting out the video. Or actually, looks like we got ALX tweeting out the video. Morning Joe is having a meltdown at people calling him out for pushing the bloodbath hoax. These people may be stupid, but we're not. Now, my friends, I've read the article for you. I've given you the context. Now, listen to what your poor family members are getting when they listen to this stuff. And I feel bad because I had a friend come to me and he was like, dude, my parents just watch MSNBC all day and they believe it. And my response was, tell them that they're listening to Alex Jones. And of course, you know, you and I know Alex Jones is nowhere near as bad. He gets things wrong, but Alex Jones does a decent job, though he does have his crazy moments. But the reason I say that is because it creates that what their perspective of Alex Jones is, you flip back on them. You are watching what is actually the conspiracy theory nonsense. And my friend, of course, says, but they're not going to believe it. I said, Google search MSNBC rating NewsGuard. Show them that where it says they post fake news. I wonder if I could pull up MSNBC real quick so I can show you the NewsGuard rating. So here's MSNBC and their NewsGuard rating is 49.5. Caution. This website generally fails to maintain basic standards of accuracy and accountability. This is how you do it. You say, listen, NewsGuard is like the academic New York Times stuff. They are warning you. It is fake news. It's fake news. Here's the clip. Let's enjoy it.
He's talking about a bloodbath for America. It's laid out in the terms of it. And these idiots on Twitter, these idiots on cable news, these idiots on Sunday shows going, well, our presidents, you know, he was talking only about the auto industry, and this is one more. It's just bullshit. Let me say that at 6:15 a.m. It's just bullshit. He knew what he was doing. We're not stupid. Americans aren't stupid. He was talking about a bloodbath. Sometimes a bloodbath means a bloodbath. And when he finishes by saying, and that's just going to be the least of it, seriously, these people may be stupid. We're not.
It's so insane, right? These people may be stupid, but we're not. Well, Joe, I don't know if you have Google, but if you Google bloodbath, you'll see. This is Merriam-Webster.com. I don't know what you want me to do. I went to Merriam-Webster and I looked it up. Bloodbath, noun. One, a great slaughter. Fine, if that's your interpretation, that's kind of weird. Two, a notably fierce, violent, or destructive contest or struggle. B, a major economic disaster. I remember this big story back, it was like 8 years ago. Oh man, yeah, it was like 8 years ago. Shane Smith was the CEO of Vice.com. Vice Media, we all know Vice, they're basically gone in these days. And he said, there will be a bloodbath in digital. And it's like, what does that mean? Does it mean someone was going to rampage through various news outlet offices? Joe Scarborough, sometimes a bloodbath means a blood. No, he meant people were going to get fired, and they did. And over the past 10 years, there have been mass layoffs every year from the digital media industry. And he wasn't wrong about it. It's a figure of, it's the definition of the word. Oh, boy. Let's see. Here we go. Wait. Before I do that, let me, I Google searched market bloodbath. And literally right now, you've got 3 days ago, crypto market bloodbath. You've got 3 days ago, meme coins, AI tokens, market bloodbath. You've got, here we go, bloodbath in new age tech stocks as broader market slumps. China's EVs rush into Western market risks ending a bloodbath for the industry 4 weeks ago. You see what happens here? Because I've warned, I've told you guys about this. Donald Trump will see something in the news. He will then say it and they'll go, and they'll all start screaming. So here you have 1 month ago, Chinese electric vehicle maker, sees no let up in market bloodbath from Yahoo Finance. 1 month ago from Fortune, China's electric vehicles rush into Western markets, risks ending in a bloodbath for the industry. So Trump is literally coming off of major news in an auto industry market crash where the media reported a bloodbath and he says there will be a bloodbath. And then they go, oh, but he means killing people. Of course, I had to lead with NPR because this headline, Trump says some migrants are not people and warns of bloodbath if he loses, as if to imply Trump is saying either migrants are going to kill you or he is going to kill them. It's such a dirty game. Now, I'll give some honorable mentions and we'll try and break this down for you because I think you give credit where credit is due. Respect is earned, not given. When you Google search bloodbath this morning, Trump warns of bloodbath for auto industry and country if he loses the election. Now, that's where CNN loses a little bit of those brownie points. And country? I mean, okay, that's technically true, but I got to give them this. They said for the auto industry. And so what other context could you get out of that other than market context? So that's fine, I guess. The Guardian, Trump predicts bloodbath if he loses. Oh, please. Politico, reaction to Trump's speech. When is a bloodbath not a bloodbath? Are you kidding me? Vance, J.D. Vance, slams ridiculous attack on Trump in wake of bloodbath comments. Nancy Pelosi, I love this one. Pelosi suggests Trump meant he will exact a bloodbath if he doesn't win after rally statements. How people keep falling for this stuff is beyond me. But, you know, perhaps some people just can't think. There's a meme going around right now. It actually pops up here now and then. I did a segment on it on Friday about inner monologue, about how some people do not have an inner monologue. That's kind of a wild thought to me. I can't 24/7 nonstop, quite literally, even as I'm talking, I have inner monologue. Like here's what's happening. Here's how I explained it on Friday. It's like, as I'm talking, I'm actually talking substantially slower than I'm thinking. That's why I talk so fast. And my brain is effectively writing the script in my mind, and I can see the words I'm about to say before I say them. So, like, there's no period of my life where I'm not visualizing, what's the right word, audializing? I don't know. Hearing the sounds, seeing the images, and thinking the words, as well as, I don't know, there's this weird, like, abstract thought process that happens behind it all. But there are some people that apparently don't have that. And the argument is these are NPCs. If you cannot actually think and break down the language structure and understand the concepts, maybe you would hear bloodbath and just take it instantly literally. And perhaps this is why so many people take literally everything Trump says literally. You see how I did that? But it's a fun one, I got to tell you. It's a fun one. Ian Miles Chong breaks down the not people hoax very simply by just showing the clip of what Trump said. He says, in addition to the narrative hoax about a bloodbath, the media is also lying about what Donald Trump said at his speech yesterday with regard to immigrants by divorcing his remarks from context when he says some of them are not people. Trump is very clearly referring to MS-13 gang members who are in prison for some of the most heinous crimes imaginable and are being let into the U.S. by the thousands. And he is correct. There is a concern right now. Let me pull up this story. Center for Immigration Studies says, is Venezuela sending violent criminals to the United States? Now, the important thing is, The Center for Immigration Studies is accused of being far right, anti-immigrant, and even they are saying it is unclear what we know. Venezuela has released many extremely violent criminals from their prisons. There have been many people who have entered the United States illegally from Venezuela who have committed crimes recently in the news. This is the concern people have, that if they're letting these criminals out, these criminals are not going to want to stay in this country. They're going to in Venezuela. They're going to try to come to the United States. That's the argument. Trump says some of these people, they're not people. They're trafficking children, as Dr. Phil points out. This is Dr. Phil on The View. OK, look, by all means, make the argument it is wrong to say some of these people are animals or not people because it's dehumanizing and it creates a narrative risk and blah, blah, blah. And I can actually agree with that to a certain degree. Of course, we want to insult and deride the most egregious of individuals, child traffickers. Yeah, I totally get what Trump is saying. I have no problem saying these people are monsters, demons. You want to call them not people? That's weak. You want to call them animals? That's weak. We say they're demons. They are entities of evil. My point is, if someone made the argument, let's keep it in the human realm because dehumanization is when you start getting violence, I would say, I get that. I totally get that. My concern, of course, is vigilantism. What we need to happen is a working law enforcement apparatus to arrest and lock these people up. That being said, I ain't going to shed no tears over Trump referring to murderers, rapists, and child traffickers as not people. Back when Trump said some of these people are animals, I'm like, I don't know if he should be saying that because, you know, it's dehumanizing and we don't want to get to the point where people go out there and then take matters into their own hands and get violent or whatever. But I can certainly say on the issue today, I'm very much fed up. And Trump saying not people is like one of the lightest ways you can put this. Demons. Don't even give them a living entity. Animal? Demons. People who take children and sell them for sex are beings of evil incarnate. I'll take it up a notch. But of course, they want you to believe that Donald Trump is talking about a mother and her child crying as they flee, gang members shooting at them. It's like, oh, Dios mío. And then they come to the United States. And then Trump is like, look at that animal. But that's not what Trump is saying at all. My view, that mother holding her baby, fleeing across the border into over the Rio Grande, crying as she's being shot at, should absolutely be taken into these United States and protected. But we're talking about people who live in Mexico, have nowhere else to go, who are about to die and be murdered. And even then, I don't think it's fair to argue that people in the United States have an obligation to anyone else. But I'm of the opinion, like, that's a real asylum seeker and refugee. They try to manipulate you by saying, these people are legal asylees. That's what AOC said. No. Most of these people are young men. They're criminal aliens, economic migrants, breaking our laws because they want money. They want good money. I don't blame them. This country's awesome. And I respect them infinitely more than I do these leftists who keep claiming this country sucks and is racist. So you got these, you know, Central Americans and indigenous flooding across our border for a better life into this racist country. Spare me your lies. I got more respect for the people risking their lives to get here than you who hate the country. I'm gonna tell you this. If we replaced all of our anti-America leftists with pro-America illegal immigrants, I'll clarify this. You may say, Tim, they're not pro-America. They're breaking our laws. You're right. But the one thing I can tell you is they want to be here. And if we start from the baseline of wants to be here, then we can set some thresholds like, you know, how about learn the language and integrate properly? I got no problem with Spanish. Proper integration is good, is important for economics. So let's try to make this work. And here are our laws, free speech. These things matter. And just, you know, don't break the law. I take it. If the baseline is they like the country versus the leftists don't, I'll take it. It's a wonderful morning to wake up to the propaganda, I suppose. What else do we got here? I got a bunch of stories pulled up. Americans warned to brace for a second wave of Venezuelan gangsters coming over the border as country's prisons, at least 100 inmates are released. That's a weird way to write that sentence. These are killers. Venezuela is saying this. Trump comes out and they're like, oh, you know, Trump, oh, geez. Trump campaign defends his bloodbath warning. Hear what political strategists think. You see, CNN could not just let it go. They had that headline where it's like, okay, it's not the greatest, but at least they said auto industry, but then they got to run stuff like this. So I tell you, my friends, I was hanging out skiing over the weekend and someone said to me, one of my friends said, I actually got hit up by a friend saying, did you see what Tim Pool said? And it was a tweet where I put out saying it should be illegal to not believe in God. And they were like, I can't believe it. Is this real? I love it. Because it shows you the bubble people are in. It's an excellent circumstance. So I tell you this. And I hope this works. I tweeted two things. Believing in God should be illegal. It should be illegal to not believe in God. Two contradictory statements, zero sum, clearly proving that there was no intent behind either of those statements. They're meaningless. So if someone comes to you and says, Tim Pool wants it to be illegal to not believe in God, you can say, prove that. And then they'll show you some leftist video or something. All you got to do is Google search, believing in God should be illegal, Timcast. And you will see my tweet. You can say, no, look, here's Twitter. I'm on Twitter right now. He said the opposite. He said it should be illegal to believe in God. Then they're going to go, wait, that's bad too. You should be allowed to believe in God if you want. You can be like, case in point, you were wrong. That's what I'm talking about. With this story, the first thing you should do is, before your parents or your friends even see any of the news, say, hey, watch this clip. It's a minute long. And Trump's like, I'm going to bring the auto industry, blah, 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 blah. And they're going to be like, yeah, what is this? What's the point? You'll be like, nothing. Just wanted you to see it. And then you can leave it at that. Take this for future reference. Because if on Saturday, Trump said this, and you tweeted, you texted someone the tweet of just the video in no other context, what would happen is they'd see a video of Trump saying, I'm going to protect the auto industry. And they're going to say, I don't care about the auto industry. And you'd be like, I just wanted you to see the video. Did you see it? And they'd be like, yeah. I'm like, okay. Then come Monday, when the media reports Trump calls for a bloodbath, they're going to be like, yeah, I watched that clip. Wait, what? He wasn't talking about murdering people. Wait a minute. What's going on? Have them come to the realization they're being lied to. This is what Ian on Timcast IRL said. Whenever something happens, he quickly sends it to his mom to sort of vaccinate her from the misinformation. Trump will do something. He'll send it to her right away so she can watch it happen. Then when the media reports it, she'll be like, wait, that's not true. I watched that video. Ian sent it to me. That's a brilliant idea. That's the point. Show people, then expose them to the media lie. Because if they see the media lies first, they're going to be like, no, I don't believe you. I saw it on the news. But show them the video before it gets to that point. I'm going to leave it there. Next segment is coming up at 1 p.m. on this channel. Thank you for hanging out, and we'll see you all then. Let me explain to you one of the tactics used by the corporate press. You enter into a scenario where you know that by engaging in a certain behavior, you will get a certain outcome. You then do not tell the public of your involvement in said matter, and you claim the outcome was a normal thing. It's kind of vague, but let me break this down. You go to a protest. You intentionally block protesters. You, as a reporter, get in their way. Then the protesters get mad, and now you film it. Activists use a similar tactic. You create the news you want to exist. No better example than right now with the Elon Musk Don Lemon scandal. So as many of you know, Don Lemon was fired by Elon Musk before his show even started. Don Lemon says, I guess Elon Musk doesn't care about free speech. Well, the first thing I'll say is free speech was never, I will pay you to speech. Okay, Don Lemon? But the story is actually quite interesting. According to several news outlets and reporting from the New York Post, Don Lemon demanded a bunch of ridiculous things of Elon Musk, including a free Cybertruck, an $8 million salary with $5 million upfront, equity stake in X, before Elon Musk canceled the show. Now, Don Lemon's agent says, no, none of this is true. None of this is true. It's absolute nonsense. I don't believe that. What we are hearing from this reporting in the New York Post is that a wish list of requests was sent to Elon Musk. Elon Musk, of course, is going to deny all of these things and create the pretext by which Don Lemon could go, this is ridiculous. I guess he doesn't want free speech. I'll simplify the scenario for you. Elon Musk says, Tim, I'd like you to do a show on X. I say, wow, everybody, public announcement. We're going to do a show on X. I then go to Elon and say, give me $50 billion. He says, no. Okay, fine. I guess we don't get a show. Then I go and say, Elon fired me. Well, no. Don Lemon just created a circumstance in which Elon could not have hired him. Then Don Lemon goes on The View and goes, see, I told you Elon Musk doesn't like free speech. Elon, buddy, I think he fell for this one. We knew from the get-go that Don Lemon was duplicitous and not going to play fair. And this is the game you play. You try to give an inch to these corporate elites, the corporate press, to these cultists, and they will turn around and they will stab you in the back. I don't believe Don Lemon ever had any real intention of working with or for X. I believe the list of demands was intended to make Elon recoil and say, are you nuts? So that way Don Lemon could go on The View and go on CNN and get press. That's the game they play. I will stress, Don Lemon's agent denies this. But I want to break down for you why I actually think the denial is more duplicitous behavior. Elon Musk likens Don Lemon to spoiled child from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory after TV host demanded free Tesla Cybertruck, $8 million salary with $5 million up front and a stake in X before billionaire canceled the deal for a new show. The official reason, according to, I believe, X spokesperson or Elon, is that Don Lemon was trying to do CNN on X, which doesn't work. CNN is dying. Corporate press is dying. It won't work. But I want to add, the interview has been released, and I can tell you exactly why, outside of any ridiculous demands, why the deal was canceled. If Don Lemon came to Elon and did this remarkable podcast-style event, I mean, I personally find it fascinating. We host a show with many guests. We've had the likes of the great Joe Rogan on our show. I on his. We have Joe Rogan and Alex Jones at the same time. We had Kanye West. We've had many large names. We've never had Elon Musk. But Don Lemon, as his first guest, he gets Elon. And it wasn't some great podcast. I'm willing to bet that if it was a really great show, that Don Lemon actually made this authentic sit-down two-hour thing, that Elon probably would have said, let's make this happen. I'm sure Elon was thinking, like, X needs a powerful podcast-style news show. Maybe Don Lemon could do it. I think Elon Musk made a big mistake there. But I think Elon would have absolutely honored a tremendous deal, probably even given the due to Cybertruck, if it was like, this could be the next big news program. Instead, Don Lemon could not grasp conditional hypotheticals. This is funny because just last week we were talking about this with Lauren Chen. There's this question you ask. It's, if you did not eat breakfast yesterday, how would you have felt? A conditional hypothetical, something that either has not happened or will not happen. Don Lemon could not grasp the concept of a hypothetical. It was insane. And I'm like, wow, indicative of like a low IQ. The idea of the question is this. Low IQ individuals respond by going, but I did eat breakfast. And you're like, right. But if you didn't have breakfast, how would you feel? The typical answer is hungry, I guess. It also doesn't necessarily work because a lot of people don't eat breakfast anymore. I guess it was like a question from back when everyone had breakfast. And now, you know, a lot of people do intermittent fasting. I don't have breakfast, although I recently, I added a protein shake into my morning routine because I got a personal trainer and I'm tracking my macros. So anyway, there's a lot of ways to answer the question, but the real point of the question is to determine whether or not you can understand a hypothetical, conditional. Something did not happen, but what if it did? And you say, okay, well, if it did happen, then I suppose X, Y, and Z. Don Lemon was talking to Elon Musk about DEI and surgery. And Elon said, if you lower the standards in medical care, eventually someone will die. And Don Lemon goes, but no one's died. And Elon says, yes, but if you lower the standards, eventually someone will die. And Don Lemon once again is like, but nobody died. He can't grasp the concept of a hypothetical scenario. And that's the challenge with a lot of the cult, that the establishment cult actors. How could Don Lemon possibly vote properly if he can't understand hypotheticals? Well, let's read. Elon Musk has compared the former CNN anchor Don Lemon to a spoiled child from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Lemon is alleged to have requested a Tesla Cybertruck, an $8 million salary, an equity stake in X, together with a $5 million upfront payment on top. Man, like I'd request substantially less. You know, if Elon were to offer me something, say, hey, do a show on X, I'd be like, okay, here's the going rate, I guess. And it's substantially less than all of that. I don't know if he was looking for like a full-time thing, whatever. In a posting to X on Friday night, Musk simply wrote, Don Veruca Salt Lemon, in reference to a character from Willy Wonka. We know. They go on to say that, Lemon was requesting all these crazy things. They say officials at X stated there was no final or signed agreement with Don Lemon. But a spokesperson for at UTA has poured cold water on the claim, describing it as absolute, complete, utter nonsense without an iota of truth to it. I don't buy it. Here's what I think. The alleged proposal was also former rather than whimsical, with everything placed in writing in a contract sent from UTA to X in December. I do not believe X would defame, libel, slander UTA like that. I think what likely happened is, because I've dealt with these agencies, I've dealt with UTA, not in a similar capacity to this, but I've dealt with UTA. They're awful. I've dealt with some like many from the big agencies, the big three or the big five, whatever they call them. Yo, let me tell you, the contracts they produce, it's like they jump up on the table, take a dump on the table and hand it to you and say, now redline. I had a meeting with a company once. And they were like, your show is amazing. And we think you could be bigger than Ben Shapiro. And it's something like that. They were like, Ben Shapiro is really big. Take a look at this. We think your show is attractive to moderates, middle of the road individuals. And there's a big market there with the average person. It's going to be huge. And I said, this is fantastic. The deal was radio podcast distribution. And I said, that's something we're not that good at. We're great at social media. Our podcast stuff does decently well. Like, we make a lot of money on podcasts, but I know we could do better. I know we can. And so I said, by all means, this deal sounds great. We negotiated in person. I said, send me that contract. And they sent me a steaming pile of human waste. The contract was insane. I'm not going to get into the finer details, but when I hear that they were asking for this, I'm like, that's exactly what they do. The contract I was offered was basically like, we own everything 100% and we decide if we give you anything back. And I was like, wait. You're supposed to be helping me distribute this. I own the company. I have employees. And they were like, nah, we own it now. And I was like, I'm not signing that. So I got pissed and I said, this is not what we discussed. This was not part of my negotiations. You wasted my time. And now you're sending me this waste of time further. And they said, Tim, this is normal in business. You're supposed to redline the contract and send it back. And I said, I am not going to spend $5,000 on lawyers to go through this contract to remove all of the garbage you snuck into it. And they were like, oh, well, I mean, this is normal. If that's normal for you, I'm not doing business with you. So here's what I imagine happened. Based on the news reporting that X says they got this contract from UTA, and then she says, UTA says, that's not true at all. Here's what I believe makes the most sense. UTA, United Talents, representing Don Lemon, said, we're going to ask for everything under the sun in the kitchen sink. Then when we send it to Elon, Elon can remove things he won't do. But we're going to big ask for everything. $8 million, $5 million up front, free Cybertruck, equity, policy changes, all of that stuff. And then Elon, if he doesn't go through the contract, maybe we get it. The hope usually is, you ask for a million things, you end up with 10,000. You ask for 1,000 things, you end up with 100. So they're like, let's pull a big ask. They probably scoffed at this and said, this is ridiculous. And much like the issues I had with the agencies I've worked with, they probably said, this is nuts. What ends up happening? Well, Don Lemon interrogates Elon Musk on depression, his prescription ketamine use, and Trump, an interview that got him fired. So Elon Musk sits down with Don Lemon in what may be one of the stupidest interviews ever. I think Elon Musk may have bitten off more than he can chew by not realizing just how stupid Don Lemon is. And Don Lemon is very stupid. And Wokeness says, Elon Musk tries to explain how lowering the standards for doctors could result in more deaths. Don Lemon is unable to grasp the concept. The entire exchange is incredible. So I'll put it like this. They do the interview. Don Lemon puts it up on everywhere. He says he'll put it on X, he's going to put it on YouTube. I think Elon Musk sat down with this guy and afterwards was like, my Lord, that is the stupidest person I've ever spoken with. Before I play the clip, I will stress the point. I believe that Don Lemon's intention was one of two things. I think his agent was just like, we're going to ask for everything we can. But I believe a large component of this was for Don, or and this may have been the plan B. our worst case scenario, if they reject this contract, you get to come out and say, I guess Elon doesn't believe in free speech. Don Lemon went on CNN. I believe he went on The View. Let me double check this because I want to make sure I get my facts right. I believe Don Lemon went on The View. Yeah. Do we have it right here? Yes. He appeared on The View slamming Elon Musk. Here we go. Don Lemon puts the squeeze on Elon Musk for canceling his ex-partnership. I was a good soldier. The former CNN anchor spilled the tea on The View about his feud with the billionaire. So they give this ridiculous list of demands. And they're like, hey, look, if we get it, we get it. And if we don't get it, you can then, we'll hit up ABC, we'll hit up CNN, we'll hit up MSNBC, we'll go on all these things, and we'll say, Elon doesn't like free speech. And that's where we're currently at. It's a remarkable exchange, though. I think the principal issue for Elon was just how tremendously stupid Don Lemon is. Let me play the clip.
If we lower the standards for what it takes to become a doctor.
You're saying if we lower the standards, yes. But do you believe people are dying because the standards are being lowered?
I don't or have think that lowered. Is yet an issue, but it could become an issue.
Okay. But the actual evidence in history shows the exact opposite. If you look at how minorities are treated by the medical system.
What?
Most doctors now are white.
That's not a coherent sentence at all. History shows what most doctors in the United States have been white for a very, very long time. And medical advances have advanced. What point is being made here?
And there are lots of mistakes in medicine. So you're saying that white doctors have bad medical care? I'm trying to understand your logic here when it comes to DEI, because there's no actual evidence of what you're saying.
No, I said, so if the standards, like let's say, I think that particular thing was referring to surgeons. Let's say a surgeon is asked to do a series of operations under the supervision of a senior surgeon, and they get a bunch of those operations wrong. If that happens, and yet they are still approved to be a surgeon, the probability that someone will die, I think, at some point is high.
Okay, I understand that, but that's a hypothetical. That doesn't mean it's happening.
I didn't say it's happening.
you didn't say it was happening.
I said it will.
He did not say it was happening. He said, I believe if you do X, the probability of Y goes up.
I said, if we lower status, people will die.
But why respond to something or put something out there that has not happened? Because I could say, you know.
Because I don't want it to happen. I think we don't want to lower standards.
Okay, if you look at the history of the medical industry, especially when it comes to Black Americans, it shows the exact opposite. If you look at the experiment and on and on, only 5% of doctors in America are Black.
He made a reference to the Tuskegee experiments. What does that have to do with what Elon is talking
all
about?
All of them are white. So are you saying that if the majority of doctors are white, are you saying that and there are still these inequities, right? And there are still mistakes. Are you blaming DEI for that?
No, I'm very basically saying that if we lower standards.
Elon! Poor Elon! No wonder he nuked this guy. Look, I don't even know if the demands had anything to do with it at this point. Like, at first I'm thinking, like Don Lemon, they did this to force Elon's hand so they could run around screaming he doesn't like free speech. But I'm thinking that's like plan B at this point.
For what it takes to become a board certified surgeon or, you know, an oncologist or something where the kind of disease we're talking about, if you make a mistake, causes someone to die, then the more people will die than if we don't lower the standards. Therefore, we should not lower the standards.
But why do you think they're lowering the standards for minority doctors or women doctors? Or
that's what that's what that article suggested. Yes, at Duke University.
Okay,
I believe that.
Oh man, this was like imagine being Elon sitting here being like, "Holy crap, you can't comprehend this." I got to be honest. I've dealt with this. I know many of you have dealt with this. Trying to explain something to someone whose brain can't do it. It's like trying to install a video game on a computer trying to install GTA on a computer from 1994. It's like the computer just freezes up. It's like, it's not going to happen. That's this scenario. and it's frustrating. But you'd think after 2 minutes and 41 seconds of Elon being like, if X, then Y, if X, then Y, Don, why can't you grasp this? And Don is just like, huh? But what? You think what? No wonder. No wonder. Do I have another clip from there? No. We have this from the rabbit hole who tweeted, this isn't even necessarily a hypothetical. There is evidence that affirmative action leads to lowered standards and worse doctors. If people want anecdotes, then look to Patrick Chavis, an affirmative action doctor who was found to be incompetent for the role. And so you have medical school acceptance rates by GPA, race, and ethnicity. And it's basically gone up. Wow, this is remarkable. Everyone's just being accepted more and more and more. Now, I don't know. What is this? MCAT 2729. I don't necessarily know what the issue here. I don't know how they're breaking this down. I see what they're saying. That if your GPA is 3.2 to 3.39, there's a high rate of black candidates who are getting these jobs. And even at the higher GPAs, a high rate of black candidates getting these jobs, and substantially lower for Asian and white, lowest for Asians. That's interesting. So you can certainly see this. Now, I don't think this necessarily shows. No, actually, I think it does. Lower grade point average. Elon Musk's point is extremely simple. If you say the standard is you must have a rating of X to become a doctor, and then people go, yeah, but we're not getting enough doctors who are black or Latino. It's like, okay, well, then for them, it should be X minus 100. You're going to get lower skilled doctors who will not be as good. If, in my opinion, I think we see what happens with a lot of this stuff is that a lot of these leftists have long said, like Black Panther, that's a diverse movie when the cast is almost entirely black. What happens is they'll say it should be one white person, one Asian person, one Latino person, one black person. Then we should have one of each man and woman. But that's not parity. What you'd expect to find is around 10 to 13% of the workforce being black based on the size of the U.S. population being around 13% black. But that's not what's happening. They're hiring substantially more than parity, which means you will have to go down in standards. But more to the point, Don Lemon's agent denies all of this. So let's just put it this way. Let me grab the quote from Elon Musk, I suppose. So they say a Hollywood reporter says Don Lemon's agent's denying this. Claims published in the New York Post said he wanted all these things. I think it's very likely true. But I also think it's probably fair to say my initial assessment was I think this was give these demands to Elon so he's forced to say no. Then you can run around screaming he hates free speech. In a reply to a threat on X, Musk said he canceled Lemon's show because his approach was basically just CNN, but on social media, which doesn't work as evidenced by the fact that CNN is dying. And instead of it being the real Don Lemon, it was really just Jeff Zucker talking through Don, so lacked authenticity. X is a platform that champions free speech, and we're proud to provide an open environment for diverse voices and perspectives. X also said in a statement, the Don Lemon show is welcome to publish its content on X without censorship, and we believe in providing a platform, blah, blah, blah. I think that exchange I showed you is all you need to see to understand why Elon's like, we don't want this. Because it can be viewed one of two ways. Maybe Don Lemon's really not that stupid. But Don Lemon was desperately trying to argue Elon, even though Elon didn't even make that crazy of a point. If you lower standards, then you get low standards. That's it. Nothing else. If we say, in order to qualify for the Olympics, we're going to make it so that you only got to run 100 meters and we don't care how long it takes. Well, then a lot of people will qualify for the Olympics. That's just simple. I think that it's possible Don Lemon is trying to be faux adversarial where it doesn't make sense, thus creating an inauthentic fake interview, which makes no sense. And 2 minutes and 40 seconds, instead of Don just saying, I see your point. A lower standard means you're widening the door. And that means more people will come in and that will broaden the skill pool. Some will be probably worse because you're not making the standard more difficult. You're making it easier. So you'll be pulling in more lower tier candidates. That's just a fact. And that, my friends, is the mental capacity of thus in the corporate press. I do want to point this out, though. I still think it's fair to say that at the very least there was a secondary plan where it's like in the event Elon refuses to go along with this or doesn't like it, you know, then you can come out and say he opposes free speech and all that stuff. It's also entirely possible Don Lemon is just not a sentient life entity. You know, he is just incapable of thought. And so he is just confused and low IQ. I don't understand. I want to say this. How does Don Lemon have a UTA agent? Seriously. How do people like Cuomo and Lemon get these anchor positions? They exhibit no merit. You know, I'm grateful for the internet. I'm concerned about the internet at the same time. But I'm grateful because it allows the meritocratic rise of people who actually can make good stuff. Not always. It also allows crazy people to do crazy things. But Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo and Caitlin Collins and the others on CNN are examples of hand-picked NPCs. They are not very smart people. They don't have great talent, but they can read a prompter and they can read it very well. Well, okay, that's the job they get. When Don Lemon is taken out of that environment, this is what is produced. That's the secret of the corporate press. No talent. They just hope to control the machine so they can force you to listen to what they want you to listen to. Not anymore, though they certainly try. I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up at 4 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out, and we'll see you all then. And there it is, ladies and gentlemen. Trump lawyers say securing the full $454 million bond is a practical impossibility in New York fraud case. Donald Trump was, in my view, falsely accused of fraud for doing what every real estate developer in the world does, evaluate their own property. The state of New York went after him, falsely gave evaluations for his Florida properties, causing outrage. Then summarily determined, this judge, that Trump committed fraud. And even when in the they then had a trial determine how much money he'd have to pay. The trial was basically, we know he committed fraud. Did he falsify records? They say he's got to pay $354 million plus $100 million on top. Donald Trump's lenders said he did everything right. You had Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank saying, this is totally normal. In fact, the ruling was so shocking, he says, we are done with New York. We're getting out because they will seize your properties. The play now that this money is impossible to pay, they will take Trump's properties. I predicted this, and this is my prediction right now. Don't know the percentage chances, but I believe there's a strong chance. What they're going to say is Trump's building is only worth $20 million. It's worth $500, but they'll say $20 million. And he owes $454, so we will be seizing all of his buildings. They'll start one at a time. They've already warned they would. He has 30 days. Time's almost up. Trump is unable to get the $454 million to cover the cost of a bond so that he can file an appeal. That's the game. They will leave Trump. They will seize his properties. And he will still owe hundreds of millions of dollars. They are cheating. They are lying, and that's the name of the game. Up next, well, at the same time this is going on, the news came. I was driving in my car, and I was playing AP Radio. And they talked about how the Biden campaign has amassed $155 million cash on hand in 2024, raising $53 million last month. I thought to myself, wow, what about Trump? Well, unfortunately, Trump has limited cash on hand because of his legal bills. And there it is. They are attacking him on every front. Stacking up legal bills that he can't pay with claims that are completely insane. And it's just absolutely fascinating. You know, I want to stress this point. What did Trump do? Okay. So what they said was when Trump files for his taxes, he claims the property is only assessed at this value. But then when he tries to sell it, he says it's this value. Every single property in the country, probably the world, has their tax assessed value and their retail market value. So, for instance, when you look at the tax records of any building anywhere, just go ahead and do it. It's going to say tax assessed value X. Okay. So let's say this is a house worth $300,000. The tax assessed value could be like $100,000, and you pay taxes based on that. When you then go to sell the property, you say, I want $300,000 for this. It's worth this, and here's why I think so. The other party will argue and say, we don't think so. We think it's worth less. And you negotiate. Donald Trump evaluated his own properties, his business did, saying this building's got to be worth probably $500 million. We want a loan against it. They got a loan against it. That loan allowed them to build another building. New York is claiming that's fraud. Now you've got real estate developers fleeing New York. They've destroyed their state. They are burning this country to the ground because they hate Donald Trump. It is insane. But not surprising. The Hill reports, former President Trump's lawyers indicated in a court filing on Monday that he is unable to secure the full $464 million bond in New York in his New York fraud case, a matter that one insurance broker called a practical impossibility. Defendants' ongoing diligent efforts have proven that a bond in the judgment's full amount is a practical impossibility, citing an affidavit signed by an insurance broker who testified for Trump during the trial last year. Trump's attorneys claim they've spent countless hours negotiating with one of the largest insurance companies in the world and have approached 30 companies to back the bond, efforts it said it was pursuing before the judgment was made. The amount of the judgment with interest exceeds $464 million, and very few bonding companies will consider a bond of anything approaching that magnitude. Trump offered $100 million in bond. They said no, full amount. If Trump does not pay the full amount, he can't appeal. And he's got 30 days from the closing of that trial to pay $454 million. They are trying to seize all of his assets and destroy his life. Where are the Republicans? Where's a single Republican AG in any one of these states to file charges or anything against Joe Biden or the Democrats? Okay, don't go after Joe Biden. Go after the DNC. Jam the DNC up. Why not? I don't get it. Joe Biden is only as successful as he is relative to Trump because Republicans are doing nothing. It's remarkable evil. I'm flabbergasted. Here we go. The president raised, Joe Biden, $53 million alone last month, which was the strongest grassroots funding month since the campaign launched, according to campaign officials. Among those efforts was a contest for supporters to attend a fundraiser on March 28th in New York with Biden, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton. That raised $4 million last month. The enthusiasm we're picking up as we go around the country is real, Biden said in a radio interview. We've raised a whole lot of money. We have 1.5 million donors, including 500,000 are brand new. They're small donors. 97% of the donations are under $200. Meanwhile, Donald Trump is forced to fly around the country, attending criminal, civil, and other ridiculous court cases. And I don't get it. I can only hope this. The reason for the strategy right now is not that Republicans are incompetent and stupid, or worse, and on the take. It's that they believe the charges against Trump are going to bolster his polls and actually allow him to fundraise more. But I gotta say, Trump is using so much of this funds for his legal fees to stay out of prison or to protect his properties, he's not actually able to use much of that money for any real campaigning, nor is he actually campaigning. But Trump is famous for being able to generate massive attention in the press, which aids him and effectively serves to replace this paid ad spending. Right now, we're looking at the bloodbath hoax, they call it, because Donald Trump said there would be a bloodbath in the auto industry if he does not win, because they're going to allow foreign-made cars to come in. Of course, if you Google search bloodbath, you'll see it is a market term. Joe Scarborough's got this funny clip where he's like, I've never heard the word bloodbath used in the relation to the economy, which it literally is all the time. And so here we are. But I wonder. I wonder if that will actually just help Trump. You know, he's pointing out in this speech that some of these migrants, he says, are not people. And I'm like, I think that's putting it lightly. They're like, it's fair to say that the child sex traffickers are demons. The point I made earlier. But the media comes out and claims, and MSNBC claims, he's talking about political violence. That's going to wake up a lot of people. People are going to be like, what? That's not what he was saying. That's insane. He wasn't calling for violence. He was saying there. I mean, it's not even that. If Trump had the way Trump said it, if you really thought he was talking about violence, he was saying if they get elected, there'll be a bloodbath. He could be implying they are violent. But my point, I wonder if stories like this that put Trump's name in the press just result in him doing better and better. Because right now, I mean, the polling aggregates are all in his favor. Let me pull up the 2024 polling aggregate for the general election.
And is that it right there? I think I have it right here, actually. Nope. They Real Clear Politics, I think they changed the way general election polls. Oh, wow. Oh, I see. Okay, I got to give them this one. There's too many variables here. Currently, right now, Trump is up just shy of 2 points, 1.7 in the spread over Joe Biden. And so they can hammer out all of these attacks against Trump all day and night. He still seems to be holding it. When you add in, this is hilarious, Kennedy, RFK Jr., Cornel West and Jill Stein, Trump is up 2.7. It only splits from Biden. If it's Trump, Biden, Kennedy, Manchin or Stein, Trump is up 5 points. Manchin really spikes Joe Biden. That's amazing. And I love how they have this DeSantis versus Biden. I don't know why they still do, but that's a tie. Haley versus Biden. Haley wins, too. That's funny. But I feel like the negative press does not hurt Trump. It helps Trump. Never in the 2020 cycle, in 2018, 19, 20, well, mostly 2019 and 20, did we see anything like this. Trump was not in the lead in the polls. Say the polls are wrong. Say whatever you want. But right now, it is Trump's to lose. So maybe them going after Trump just makes Trump the underdog. And he works better as an opposition candidate. We will see. I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up at 6 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then. It's an older video, but Ian Miles Chong recently posted a video of a man in his underwear wearing Vans. It looks like he's actually wearing the same Vans as I am. I think he's wearing the Kyle Walkers. Good shoes, bro. He jumps up on a counter at Walmart, dumps milk on himself while screaming at the top of his lungs. And I'm going to play the video for you. This, my friend, is not the only time this has ever happened. This is a trend. And this is what I refer to as the social media sickness. I've long talked about what social media is doing to people. We've talked about the influence of Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and especially TikTok. I think we're in trouble because there is a deep moral and philosophical challenge that we face. And I'll open up right with it. These people are clearly breaking the law. It's a low-level act. It's a misdemeanor. In one instance, a man got naked and did it. He's going to get in a bit more trouble than that, but that was a few years ago. These videos persist. Why? Because social media allows them to persist. They're guaranteed to get views forever, basically. They get reposted all the time. And this dude, these men who do this, they know, hey, look, someone will they'll see my face. That's it. That's the sickness. That's the human sickness. I think humans strive for recognition because if you think about it from an evolutionary psychological perspective, getting positive attention, getting attention, getting noticed is a good thing in that it you want to generate a community that supports you, right? Okay. Well, let's say you have two tribes. One tribe says, I want to earn the respect of my tribe. So they go and they kill and harm and rob a different tribe. Now, tribe A says, you're a hero. Tribe B says, you're a monster, but it doesn't matter. Their community is sound and they have a social circle. That's what this is. These people are so desperate for attention, they're otherwise unremarkable people who've accomplished nothing. How do you get attention? And how do you feel like people see you, like you matter? You do this. You dump milk all over the floor. You run around naked. And these aren't the only videos, and this is not the start of this. It's been going on for some time. But these people know that they're going to go to jail and they're going to get a slap on the wrist. They know that YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, etc. will not take the videos down. And the question is, should they? See, if this guy himself posts the video, they're going to say, we don't want to encourage illegal behavior. But hold on. This video was shot by someone else in the Walmart. Probably his friend. I don't know. But why would you not allow that to be on social media? Which brings us to the philosophical conundrum. I need to show you the videos to explain to you the psychosis that is gripping a younger generation desperate for social media validation. I am reporting the news. Should that give me a special exemption? No. The person who filmed it is also saying, here's a thing that happened. It shouldn't be removed. Thus, we are at an impasse because I assume the guy who filmed it is buddies with this guy and they planned it. But you can't prove that. So what do you do? Here's the video in question. I got a bunch of other videos. I'm not going to play them for you, but I think you seeing this one will help provide the context that matters for this segment.
Ah!
He actually, I don't know what state this is in, but in Illinois, that would be assault. So towards the end, he runs up to the greeter and then starts screaming in his face. In Illinois, assault does not mean touched. Battery does. So this is like he's actually attacking somebody. It's not the only video, my friends. Hey, we got one from, who's this guy? He's got Mikey Manfs with 1.28 million followers. Milk gallon smashing Fort Wars kicked out. Now, this one's not nearly as bad. He just pretends to slip and throw a gallon of milk in the air, which splatters on the ground. I'll play this clip for you.
All right, so you pretend to fall and smash the milk. You guys have seen it repeatedly.
Oh, God. Wait.
Dumbass.
Here's the wild thing. This is how it begins. And this guy's not the, this is 6 years ago. He's not the first person to do this. I don't know. Maybe he was. Should he be banned from YouTube for this? He's got a million followers. Should he be banned? Look, all he did was drop a gallon of milk and then they laugh. But on video, they're seen planning to destroy in-store property. Maybe they bought it. I don't know. To make a mess. That's at least some kind of like disorderly conduct. Like, come on, we don't want to tolerate that. But are we really going to? Okay, we get it, dude. He should pay a fine. He should pay a couple $100. They've got to have employees come and clean that up. He's going to make way more money on that. He's got 701,000 views on this video. It's 10 minutes long. I would say that's probably about, depending on how much people watch the video, hard to say, it could be $1,000. I think they should be forced to pay back the total value of this video to that store. But it's not the worst one, but it's how it starts. It begins to evolve into this. We got this dude 5 years ago, 36,000 views. So he probably didn't make any money on this one. I don't know, it's probably $100. Insane milk gallon slip and slide inside Walmart. The question is, did they plan it? Yes, it appears they did. Let me play some of the video.
You just out here messing around once again. This nigga about to slip and slide, yo. I need a finesse, a thumbnail.
There they are, pouring milk on the ground. This guy should be banned. This is different. These guys planning it. I mean, look, the prank where you throw the milk in the air and splatter it on the ground is kind of like, I don't think that should be allowed. They shouldn't be letting people do stuff like this, but it's going to get worse. Look, we got this clip. A guy, this is from 8 years ago. Maybe he was the first person to do it. I don't know. Dumps milk on himself wearing a mask, screaming I'm on fire, naked. He got arrested. Him and another guy who planned this, they got arrested for this. They don't care that they got arrested for it because their videos go viral forever. They are so desperate to be seen in this world. They will do more like this. Welcome to the world of throwing milk in the air at Walmart. Certainly, there is something deeply wrong with the brains of these people. And it brings us to the insane moral and philosophical controversy or conflict that we're at right now. How do you stop it? Each individual action is no big deal, right? It's just some milk. You gotta clean it up. Now, this dude who dumped the milk all over the register in the bags, that's messed up. That's going to be a lot harder to clean. It's going to shut down a whole cashier station. And it's already hard enough to check out at Walmart because they have like two people working. It's funny. They have 20 registers and like two people working. And then my local grocery store, it's like, go through the self-checkout, which never works. You scan one item and then you put the thing down. And it goes, please remove the item from the bagging area. And you're like, what? You take it out. Please return the item to the bagging area. And then I got to call the person over. So it's already bad enough. So what do we do? Do we make it illegal to post the videos? No, that's ridiculous. I'm reporting on this stuff. I'm showing to you and I'm critical of it. But then what about the guy who filmed it? How do we know they're working together? You got to prove that. In which case, the video will go up and you can't just take it down. Now, this other video, this guy's filming himself doing it. Why is YouTube allowing this? I don't know if this guy even makes content anymore. It's 5 years ago. Let's take a look. He's got all his social media. I don't. Yeah, I don't think he's even posting. Whoa, he's posting a blog about making money these days. That same guy? I have no idea. Posted some videos a month or two ago. Seems like a lot of people. What is this? Did he just post someone else's video? I don't even know what this is all about. It won't even let me go back to that video. Let me refresh it. So I don't even know what this is all about. Is this the same guy? I don't think it's the same guy. I don't think it's the same guy. What is this? Caught in Walmart slipping. This stuff, what do we do? There's the idea of broken windows policing, that if you enforce the lightest of crimes, it takes care of the higher crimes. I get the idea. I don't know if it's absolutely true, but in this instance, if YouTube said, YouTube, TikTok, or any other video platform said, we will delete any video where you are posting, where you are spilling milk or doing anything like that, then the problem is, what about someone like me that's reporting on it? So you can't. But then people are going to know, hey, if I do this, I might be able to post. I can't post it, but someone will get picked up and reported on far and wide. I'm going to get attention no matter what. So what do you do? Do you put these people in jail for doing a stupid milk prank? There's no real answer, man. There is no answer. And it's going to get crazier. You go back in time and we had like the clown pranks where people would dress up like a killer clown and then scare people. Then you had a couple really deadly ones. You had one where in New Jersey is like at one of my, no, that was out here. I think it was not in Jersey. It was out here at, was it Dulles Town Center Mall or whatever? This guy was doing a prank where they were holding up like a phone to people making weird noises. Guy got shot. They arrested the victim, which is insane. Dude, I hate the YouTube prankster people. They're exploiting a system because they get attention from doing it. They're agents of chaos. The system can't sustain this. If stuff like this expands and keeps getting worse because social media allows it to and people get attention from doing it, and that's all they really want, it's going to be idiocracy. So I don't got any good answers for you. There was one prank where a dude and his friend, a guy was going to like an ATM or something, and then his friend robs him. Bystanders punched one of the dude in the face and like broke his nose. And he's like, it's a prank, bro. It's a prank, bro. It's not a prank. Bro, you run out in public. I'll tell you this. It happened in Virginia. You go to West Virginia and you prank, bro, you'll be shot and killed. It's bad enough. It's bad enough there's real crime. But this is the sickness. His viral video and all the others. I think at the very least, if the person who planned it posts the video, like if this dude who made this video posted a video saying, hey, I'm going to go run into Walmart. My buddy's filming and I'm going to do this. He should be permabanned. That's what I'd do. YouTube should go to those channels where they're like, we're going to spill milk on the floor and slip and slide. YouTube should be like, okay, permaban. Instant, no questions, no strikes. Insta-ban. You are on camera planning criminal activity. How is that allowed? Now, I get it. You're going like, oh, but it's just a little bit of, it's a mischief. It's like, it's not that big deal. The problem is there's like 10,000 people doing it because there's no enforcement. At that point, you have to say, okay, crackdown time. If you're on camera planning to commit a crime, that's it. We shut you down. The challenge? What if we made a video where like, I'm going to jaywalk? That's a petty offense. How about this? If it's at least a misdemeanor or higher, then we ban you for it. Because we can't tolerate this. People are still doing these videos. I saw another video where a guy took 2 gallons of milk screaming the same thing, splashing money, and that was a new one. And now here we are. So what do you do? It's tough, right? People like this are why we can't have nice things. I'll leave it there. Next segment is coming up at 8 p.m. over at youtube.com/TimCastIRL. Thanks for hanging out, and we'll see you all then.